Fancy Mark Podcast Show. GIF. Spirit. Ghost. Poltergeist. Talking Mongoose baffles researchers. If there's such a thing as a top 10 list of unexplainable phenomena throughout history, GIF would rank there right at the top. 14 researchers, parapsychologists and skeptics alike would have to admit they have never encountered such a bizarre but apparently well-documented case, so completely devoid of hysteria in the timeless annals of the unexplained. If GIF, the talking mongoose, is what claimed he is, would certainly turn the heads of the scientific community, who in the first glance would probably consider it a case of mass hysteria or just plain old stupidity. GIF could sing songs, mimic the sounds of animals, read minds, move objects through air, though he was nowhere near them, chat with visitors from around the world, sometimes using vulgar language, hide himself from curious eyes, become invisible whenever he wanted to. Whatever the powers that lurk behind the curtain of paranormal mystery truly are, they usually manifest in dark and frightening ways. But this is not the case of GIF the mongoose. Publisher Timothy Green Beckley has done his readers a favour, re-scutching an out-of-print book about GIF, who is only extremely rare but very costly. The book is called The Haunting of Casper's Cape, A Milner Miracle by Harry Price, R.S. Lambert, and was first published in 1936. The original copy sold for $1,000 nowadays, but Buckley can provide not only the original text, but the updated research of present-day writers like Tim R. Swartz and Hercules Agricrus for the price of an everyday paperback. James Irving and his family found themselves in the crosshairs of a series of crazy and strange events, Swartz writes. They would dominate their lives for the years to come. James Jim Irving, an educated man, had previously been a travelling piano salesman. Although the farm was his retirement project, it providing insignificant for his wife, Margaret, and a young daughter, Verity. The farm was called Douglas Caspin, Manic Gaelic for Caspin's Cape. But there's no neighbours nearby, nor was there telephone or electricity. Buckley's updated reprint is called, simply enough, GIF the Talking Mongoose. It opens with a chapter by long life time paranormal researcher Tim R. Swartz. Swartz provides an excellent out of view of the GIF saga and quits the reader with the basic facts. The persecutor, a more detailed treatment by Price and Lambert. GIF made his first appearance in September 13, 1931. According to Jim Irving, Swartz writes, the first he saw him saw a small weasel-like animal in his farmyard. He could bark like a dog, meow like a cat. Even more amazing, when Irving made other barnyard noises, the little animal repeated and sounds back immediately. It wasn't long before the Irvings became aware that this creature had found its way into the home, announcing its presence of random scratches, rustling and general activity behind the walls and the matchwork panelling. Thanks to the sounds are caused by rats or other pests, the family set traps but caught nothing. Jim made a long last-ditch attempt by growling like a dog to evasive vermin, only to hear something growl right back. He then realised it was an animal he'd seen outside. Whatever it was, Swartz recounted, it provided a great proved to be a talented mimic. He repeated Irving's imitations of various animals and birds. Soon, he only be name of an animal, it probably responded with the appropriate sounds. At other times, it made a gargling sound like a baby, and soon changed it into actual words. Verity, family's young child, was fascinated by the new guest and would ask the creatures to repeat nursery rhymes, which it would do in a clear, high-pitched voice. Family called the interloper Jack, but as soon told its host he preferred to be known as GIF, spelt G-E-F. He claimed that he was born in Delhi, India, in 1852. He brought to the island 20 years earlier when a farmer had imported mongooses to the area, hoping to curb the local rabbit population. Gibbs said he had always understood human speech, but learnt to speak himself more recently, having been taught by Jim. As rumours of the strange creature spread throughout the Isle of Man, it was often claimed that Rarity was fooling everybody by throwing a voice in an explanation that Swartz skillfully debunks. It is not to say that Rarity didn't at times imitate Chris' voice, Swartz admits. In practically every protocolized case, a sentence of it on children. There are some instances where the children have thrown them something or bang on a wall if they think they're not being observed. Variety is probably guilty of this when Gifford became stubborn and refused to make an appearance. But unlikely, Variety could manage to keep such a long drawn a hoax going for as long as the phantom phenomenon lasted. Investigators speculate that a gift was haunting of some kind, possibly a poltergeist. Gift would produce not and wraps all the house practically simultaneously, Swartz writes. He also fond of throwing things at Irvings and the guests from cracks in the panelling. As well, Giff claimed to be able to travel all over the island and repeat various conversations that he overheard. He had a rich vocabulary of swear words and loved to sing songs that were known to his hosts. Antics are similar to poltergeist pranks. Even Jim Irving thought at times that Giff was more than just an extra clever mongoose. The craze attracted attention of media. News of the mystery first reached London in October 1931, when an item concerning a man weasel appeared in the press. A newspaper called The Daily Sketch published a photo of the Irving cottage with a caption, "The Talking Weasel Farm." The Daily Mail and other journalists briefly reported strange events at Douglas Kirsten. The northern newspapers took a large and most sustained interest in the affair because their talking animals was a near neighbour and naturally paid more attention than the London newspapers. Early in 1932, the Manchester Daily Dispatch sent a report to the Irving farm in order to investigate the mystery of its actual location. He was fortunate enough to speak. The mysterious man weasel Douglas Crespin has spoken to me today. A journalist wrote, "In the investigation, the most remarkable animal story has been ever given publicly. A story which is funding prudent credence all over the island leaves me in a state of considerable perplexity. Had I heard a weasel speak? I do not know. But I do not know what I heard today. A voice which I never imagined could an issue from a human throat. The people who claim it was the voice of a strange weasel seem sane, honest and responsible folk, and like to indulge in a difficult, long drawn out, improbable, practical joke, knowing yourselves the talk of the world and others that had the same experience as myself." Jim Owen told the reporter of the story, how the animal had taken up residence in the family, but denied the place was haunted. "There are no spooks here," Owen declared. A publicity in various media outlets quickly pinnacled the curiosity of psychic investigators Harry Price and R.S. Lambert, who teamed up to write the aforementioned paranormal classic, The Haunting Caspian's Cape, based largely on their own on-site investigations of the Irvings and their mysterious house guests. In the introduction, the pair writes, "The following pages are an essay on the various but unaccountable, whether looked at from the point of view of psychology, of psychiatric research, anthropology, or sociology, this true story gift is very odd. You move to set it down in a form of possible. in order that everybody interested, including, we hope, prosperity, maybe makes to form their own judgment about it. To believe is a continuing, it represents proof of a miracle. To skeptic is a lesson in the laws of evidence. Some will call it nonsense from first at last. Some admit it last it's as good as most ghost stories. Therefore, we should have sought to admit, avoid these credibility on the one hand and be judged skepticism on the other. There may be readers who have been disappointed that we have, at the end, no cut and dried solution and a mystery to offer. But it only suggests that the facts we have honestly tried to set them forth as susceptible of various explanations. The authors comment that although the field yields little or no produce, that most people will find their lifestyle nearly intolerable. The Irvings are still a united, cheerful, healthy trio of normally intelligent persons. Nevertheless, in their lives, they have entered a mysterious, perhaps one of the most curious and unaccountable mysteries of our time. The solitary farm has become the scene of what is alleged to be a supernatural visitation. Such a visitation was common enough 300 years ago, when the reality of witches and phantoms were acknowledged and feared. And what does Geoff call himself? He cannot rely on. The two investigators to tell his host exactly what he is. Various times he's called himself a mongoose, an earthborn spirit. The last description they write, a purely spiritualistic term, adding that Geoff is thought to be afraid of dying, so it cannot be assumed that he's made the transmission into the world of the dead. Irvings did not see Geoff as a frightening creature, but more like the pet family's pet, one who feasts on biscuits, chocolate and bananas, and help them keep the stoves lit. But the others, he's considered monstrosity, a freak of nature, an abomination of God. Geoff himself seemed confused about his identity. He once said he was from another dimension, that he was a spirit that he took back from imitating. If I was a spirit, how could I kill rabbits? Which is why he was so inclusive. Geoff said he was not a pleasant sight to behold, that some might be frightened and see him as a real freak. Geoff suddenly took to seeing and speaking a strange tongues of author. We're told that the voice is extremely high-pitched above the human range with a clever, sweet tone. He began to sing more and more songs, hymns and ballads. Some of the Irvings knew, some of them were new to them. His singing became almost a nuisance. Though the gift from Monomus seemed at times to hint around variety, as he told the authors, that she had no great love for him. However, we saw more of the animal than anyone else. As the only one to see all of him, his parents frequently pleaded to him to show himself fully, but they always refused. They someday saw a portion of him sitting on the beam and glimpsed something flashing past a gap in the hedge. But that is all. When they asked him to come over the opening, Geoff answered them by saying, I am a freak. I have hands. I have feet. If you saw me, you'd faint. You'd be petrified, mummified, turned to stone, a pillar of salt. And last month, a pillar of salt. Led the researchers to speculate that Geoff might have attended Sunday school somewhere. Geoff had also found enough amusement in his living situation to make Irvings familiar with the sound of his laughter. If laughter indicates happiness, the two researchers resolved, that Geoff must be supremely, firmly contented with the bosom of the Irving family. He laughs all day. He possesses an extensive repertoire of laughs. To quote Jim's description, sometimes it resembles a tittering laugh, precocious of mischievous child. Other times I say it's a chuckling laugh of an aged person. Another distinctive type is one I would say was a satanic laugh, a laughter of a manic. Or we have the most intense dislike to laugh, as it is very trying. But unfortunately, we do not get this kind very often. Price and Lamblet can only offer the three possibilities to the ultimate reality Geoff. First, Geoff resists and haunts Douglas Kesson, secretly as Irvings says he does. Two, that Geoff is a product of hallucination and fantasy. Or three, that Geoff is a product of conscious deception. Exception of the first conclusion rules out the other two, but the second and third conclusion is not inclusive of each other and may be entertained together or separately. In assessing the reality of gift, the authors are unwilling to sweep away the trustworthy outside witnesses who heard gift and were certain of independent existence. They take very seriously the findings of people who visited the farm, such as spiritists, teachers, hikers, relations, and neighbours, and are willing to discount their statements. Given the fact reality gift, the authors speculated they were rather more docile and agreeable in his behaviour, less elusive in his manifestations, and more pleasing in his personality. He might have become, in time, a centre of some sort of cult. In spite of his deficiencies, he gained a circle of admirers, eager to hear his last doings, ready to pay periodic visits to his shrine, bringing small gifts to win his goodwill. In the stuff of which oracles are made, Prince Lambert wrote, "The foundation of the temples are built. Gift rejects spiritual imputations of himself, yet will not or cannot reveal his own identity. He has no message to give out, no real miracles to work. It is certain that doubters will be around, and faithful themselves will be able to do little than acclaim gift with all his wit and malice and foolery as a voice and nothing more." But what a fascinating voice, whether it was from a clever moon goose, a poltergeist and animal, a form, animal for form, reading ghost talking mongoose, were more than satisfied cultists and students in the supernatural, like few other works available today. A priceless reprint of the 1936 Haunting of Caspian Cape, coupled with the 21st century efforts of Beckley and his pool of writers, is a must-have item for both collectors and newcomers to the subject. Oh, by the way, is any kind of court book of a talking scope? Yes, I said that, a talking stove. That goes well beyond the boundaries of gifts abilities, for an animal speak. You also get strange all the time. Where are John Keel and Charles Fort when we need them the most? Tim Swartz is the author of the book, Gift, the Talking Mongoose, the Eighth Wonder of the World. Area 52. Signs of an alien abduction. All 58 of them. Here we go. Have you had an unexplained missing or loss of time of 1 hour or more? Have you been paralysed in bed with a being in your room? Have you unusual scars or marks with no possible explanation on how you received them? Small scoop indentation, straight line scar, triangular marks, scars on roof of the mouth, in nose, behind, or in the ears. Have you seen balls of or light, or flashes of light, in your home after or other locations? Have you a memory of flying through the air, in which you're not a dream, or many dreams involving flying? Have a strong marker memory that you will not go away, i.e. an alien face, an examination, an eagle, a tail, and a skinny baby, strange skinny baby, etc. Have you seen beams of light outside your home or come into your room through the window? Have you many dreams of UFO beams of light, alien beings? Have you had a shocking UFO sighting or multiple sightings in your life? Have a cosmic awareness and interest in ecology, environment, vegetarianism, or any very, very social conscience? Have a strong sense of having a mission or important task to perform sometime without knowing where the compulsion is coming from? Have a secret feeling that you're very special or chosen somehow? Have an unexplained event occur in your life and felt strangely anxious afterwards? Have you had several strange psychic experiences, such as knowing something is going to happen before it happens? For women only, have you had a false pregnancy or missing fetus, pregnant and then not? Having awoken in another place, then where you went to sleep. I don't remember even going to sleep. Are you waking up with your head in the foot of your bed or your cart? Haven't had the dream of eyes such as animal eyes, like an owl or deer, or remember seeing an animal looking at you, also with a fear of eyes. Have woken in the middle of the night, startled. Have a strong reaction to cover the communion or pictures of aliens, even aversion to being drawn to. Having particularly strong fear of phobias, i.e. heights, snakes, spiders, insects, certain sounds, bright lights, or more personal security or being alone. Have experienced self-esteem problems much of your life. Have someone with you been paralysed, motionless, or frozen in time, especially someone you sleep with. Have a memory of being a strong, special place of spiritual significance when you were younger. Have had someone in your life who claims to have witnessed a ship or alien near to you and witnessed where you've been missing. Have had at any time blood or shingle stain on a sheet or pillow with no explanation how it got there. Have an interest in the subject of UFOs or aliens, perhaps compelled to read about them a lot. Have an extreme aversion towards the subject of UFOs or aliens. Don't want to talk about it. Have been suddenly compelled to draw a walk to an out-of-the-way or unknown area. Had a feeling of being watched much of the time, especially at night. Have had your dreams of passing through a closed window or solid wall. Have seen a strange fog or haze that wouldn't be there. Have heard strange humming or pulsing sounds. You could not possibly identify the source. Have you had unusual nosebleeds at any time in your life? Or have woken with a nosebleed? Have you woken with soreness in your genitals, which cannot be explained? Have you had back or neck problems, T3 vertebrae, out often, or awoken with unusual stiffness in any part of your body? Had a cosmic sinuses or nasal problems? Have had your electronics go around you go haywire or malfunction with no explanation, such as streetlights going out as you walk under them, TVs and radios affected as you move close? Now, I've had that one. Well, I think that's because I've got static electricity. Have you seen a hooded figure near your home, especially next to your bed? Have you had frequent and sporadic ringing in your ears, especially in one ear? Had an occasional fear of doctors or tend to avoid medical treatment? Have insomnia or sleep disorders which are puzzling you? Yeah, I've got that. Have had dreams of doctors or medical procedures? Have frequent or sporadic headaches, especially in the sinus behind one eye or your ear? Had a feeling you're going crazy for even thinking about those sort of things? Yep. Have had paranormal psychic experience, including intuition? Yes, I've had a paranormal experience. Yes. Have you been prone to compulsive or addictive behavior? Yes. Have channeled telepathic messages through extraterrestrials? Have simply heard of an external voice in your head speaking to you, perhaps instructing you or guiding you? Yes. Have you been afraid of your closet now or as a child? No. Has sexual relation problems, just such as odd feeling you must become involved in a relationship because it would interfere with something? Have to sleep against the wall or might sleep with you. Have to sleep against the wall or must sleep with your bed against the wall? Yes. Have you a fear that you're very vigilant or you will be taken away by someone? Have a difficult time trusting other people, especially authority figures? Yes. Have had dreams of destruction and conservatory? Have the feeling that you're not supposed to talk about these things, or you should not talk about them? Yes. Have had experienced many things, and it's this that you call your child, or we call your child, parents speaking of similar occasions. Have you tried to resolve these type of problems with little or no success? How many of these traits can be met? You have many of these traits, but can't remember anything about an abduction or alien encounter. You've been listening to Area 52. 58 signs of alien abduction. Da, da, da. So we sidetracked. Episode 16. Mysterious cats of England. The Fiskerer Toon Phantom. Fiskerton. In August 1997, the Fiskerer Toon Phantom was first spotted by four young South Yorkshire girls, Nikki Hanley, Nicola Proctor, Rachel Rowland, and Joanna Brogan, were enjoying a walk near the Lincolnshire village of Fiskerton, where they saw a 4-foot creature dining on a dead animal carcass. The girls described the mysterious animal as bear-like, and black with black fur. Furthermore, the girls told reporters that the beast had large teeth and claws. They even claimed the animal's left footprints in the dirt after finishing its pheasant's dinner. Unbeknownst to the mostly outside of the Lincolnshire, reports of a similar animal creature have been made earlier in the year. In most of the cases, the mysterious animal was described as being bear-like or akin to a large predatory cat. Since 1997, Fiskerton Phantom sightings have been almost non-existent. Today, the Fiskerton Phantom is better known for the character Fiskerton on the amateur television show The Secret Saturdays. Beast of Bodmin Moor. Even without the beast, Cornwall's Bodmin Moor will be a terrifying place. Although officially designated as one of the areas of outstanding natural beauty, Bodmin Moor is a desolate granite moorland covered with windswept heather. Dartmoor Moor, Bodmin Moor is also home of the staple stones and the triplet stones, prehistoric stone circle, and more or less a small-scale Stonehenge. It was in its environment that the beast of Bodmin Moor was stalked by its prey and snacked on the area's livestock. The first reports of the creature surfaced in the 1990s. At the time, 60 white eyewitnesses said they had seen a panther-like animal with black fur and white, yellow eyes. It's widely stated the animal was approximately 3 to 5 foot long. The British government took these reports so seriously they opened an investigation in 1995. Though the London asserted it could not find any evidence of panther living on Bodmin Moor, they didn't rule it out either. Some people claim that the beast attacked more than just sheep and cows. On October 26, 1993, Jane Fuller reported that she was struck on the head by an unknown animal while she was walking a dog on Bodmin Moor. 4 years later, bite marks on livestock, along with unusual droppings, spurred them to investigate this into action. One of those investigators claimed they saw what appeared to be a puma and its cub on the moor. In December 2014, a Daily Mail released the files for the 1994 investigation to the public. In what had to be the fatal moment for cryptids hunters, the released documents showed the beast was nothing more than a 30 centimetre tall or 12 inch cat. Fen Tiger, Cambridge. 2 years ago, before the Operation Beastie, another large cat was seen prowling around the English countryside. Instead of the moors of the West Country, this creature would prefer the fens of Cambridgeshire. It was first seen in 1982 near the village of Cottingham. The fen tiger then went dormant for 12 years until it was sighted again in 1994. William Roker even captured what he believed to be the tiger on camera. Since then, the tiger has become a staple of white witnesses' reports given to the Cambridgeshire Police. In 2010, a large lynx-like animal was reported prowling around the fields a little east of Southam. In 2013, a possible big cat was blamed for attack of sheep, while two other reports of a panther-like cat made in Goulburn and Marlborough. The sheer weight of all these reports had led members of the British Big Cat Society and other so-called experts to assert that the fen tiger was either a tiger or puma that was leased in the wild by an owner who purchased the animal illegally. While some might scoff at this notion, it is true that people in Cambridgeshire continue to see the creature. The big cats of Monmouthshire. In August 2000, police in the Welsh town of Gwent issued a warning to residents to be on the lookout for a leopard-like animal. A previous attacked an 11-year-old boy called Joss Hopkins. The boy said the animal had struck him while he and his brother searched for a pet near the home in Trellich. While searching on a patch of tall grass, the big animal jumped up and struck Hopkins in the face and one of its front paws. The attack marred the child's face with five bloody claw marks. The story immediately received nationwide attention and once since big cat enthusiasts were quick to claim that a black panther was to blame. Other various media outlets used the ordeal to explain the phenomenon of big cat sightings in Great Britain. As for Wales, more than a dozen sightings around Gwent have been reported since 2011. The South Wales Police received 17 reports, all in 2013. Each had one claim to be that a black panther-like cat was roaming the countryside. The big cat of the Cotswolds. Cotswolds of south central England are a perfect destination if you're seeking the quiet beauty of the British countryside. Tucked beneath the green rolling hills of the Cotswolds are quaint houses with thatched roofs, stone exteriors, trappings of a bygone age, and several big cats that currently terrifying residents. Recently, 2015, many residents of the Cotswolds have come forward to claim they spotted a black panther or panther-like creature. These sightings have mostly occurred in the towns of Cirencester and South Cheney. But one has stated that a large black cat was prowling on the land in front of the Cirencester's Roman Amphitheatre. The Cotswold residents have claimed that big cats are responsible for an alarming number of attacks on the local deer population. While the usual mixture of big cat enthusiasts and amateur flutes voices support for the theory, the cats are present in rural Great Britain. Forestry Commission claimed, confirmed in 2009, a two-year agent has seen what they believe to be large panthers in the Forest Dean of Gloucestershire. Big cats are Shropshire and Wales. Shropshire and the border of Wales sits in the heart of England's big cat country. Between 2010 and 2015, 14 sightings were reported to the Dyfed Prothyrus Police in nearby Wales, where one Shropshire resident claimed to have seen a panther-like animal in March 2014. Other witnesses have told similar tales since 2009. The same year, a wounded lamb was found in a Welsh town of Beef, Wales. And a year later, in the Shropshire border town Oswestry, a large cat was the size of a sheepdog, reported to the police. Other sightings occurred in towns of Telford, Manyford, and Llandudies. In 2008, the Shropshire Star newspaper released its video footage taken by Bingsley farmer Sherry Lewis. The footage appeared to show a black cat calmly walking down through the fields near the farm. Many claim that such animals are descendants of wild animals outlawed by the Dangerous Wild Animals Act of 1976, which intended to halt the then popular practice of keeping wild predators like tigers and lions at bay as pets. Moritz claimed that the panthers were brought to the British Isles by various victorious Romans and then released into the wild. Others, the majority of the cats, will haunt the British countryside somehow connected with terrestrials, and some sightings have coincided with UF reports. Beast of Buckland-kern. From about far back as 1930s, the Buckland area of Scotland, Aberdeenshire, has been a focal point for big cat sightings. Although Scottish wildcats have been known to traverse the fields of Aberdeenshire and Benefitshire, both the town borders the Highlands, and witnesses believe the Beast of Buckland is far too large and long to be a wildcat. A 2006 video from Benefitshire certainly seems to support this assertion. In 2011, a recent transplant from Inverness named James Gray posted a eyewitness account on the internet, and Mr. Gray saw a large black cat with a bushy tail while he was walking with his dog Sophia between the villages of Old Deer and Mintlaw at around 5 p.m. According to his initial report and interviews, the animal crouched down, waited for a few seconds, then trotted off. Other spotters have described the beast as anything from unusually large lynx to a black cat panther. Most first-hand accounts compared the beast to large dog breeds, like greyhounds or Australian shepherds. George Redpath, a big cat enthusiast and wildlife liaison officer in Fife, believes the Beast of Buckland is actually just one of them. Some 50 cat species that live almost undetected in Scottish wildlands. And policeman and a mystery cat. On June 30th, 2009, an off-duty Ministry of Defence dog handler named Chris Shallow was helping a friend tend a garden in Helensburgh, Elgoyle, Scotland. Swallow noticed a large black object moving near a railway line. He first thought the creature was larger than a Labrador dog, rather than any native cat species, and normally long tail. Swallow noticed the big cat was in danger of getting hit by approaching train. He ran to warn it. It was at this point he realised he was a present of a fabled cobalt tiger. Our cougar. Swallow grabbed his cell phone and trained its camera on the beast. The phone recorded what appeared to be a black panther walking across a set of train tracks. His footage quickly made the rounds, and it says it's been a popular entry in the fast-growing list of big cat sightings in Great Britain. Beast of Bevendeen. Dubbed the Beast of Bevendeen, this cat was first spotted in 2008. In the summer, several witnesses came forward and claimed they had seen a large black cat in the woods near the city of Brighton and Hove. After they compared their accounts during a meeting at the Holy Nativity Church in Benfindine, the residents agreed that the animal posed a threat to their pets and possibly their children. On June 10th of the same year, Benfindine resident and dog owner Bill Batchner claimed that his large vicious cat had attacked his dog during their walk. Unlike majority of accounts throughout Great Britain, Batchelor told Suffolk Police that a sandy-coloured cat, not a black panther, with a grey muzzle, had attacked his pet in October 2010. A resident of Preston Park, Brighton, named Ives Garter, claimed that she had spotted a beast of Benfindine while she was picking apples on the Benfindine Hill. Carter's statement claimed that the large cat had tabby-like markings, and she said the cat ran into the undergrowth once she noticed its presence. In winter 2009, Debbie Munn, a 59-year-old resident of Brighton, told members of Sussex Big Cat Watch that Beast of Benfindine was actually one of many pumas and lemurs and actually breeding in the area, though not a widely held belief. And the theory might explain why some reports of other other different stories about the beast's appearance. The Lion of Bedford. For the most part, big cat sightings all seem to be pointing to the existence of black panthers in the forests and fields of Great Britain. A small majority of cases point to either lynxes or mountain lions as the culprits. Behind various sightings, lions on our band are rarely sighted. This all changed in October 2012, where witnesses reported seeing a lion in a resident area near the town of Bedford. 6 weeks prior to the reports, an orange and brown beast been near caused a panic among Essex residents who believed that a lion was on the loose in a nearby camping site in Catton. These reports were believable enough that the Essex Police deployed armed officers and a helicopter to the area to capture the big animal. Turned out police located a large Maine coon cat called Teddy Bear, decided he was the cause of all the worry. As for Bedford, the lion sighting began when two women were walking their dog and saw what appeared to be a lion lounging under near a housing estate. Like the earlier panic in Essex, Bedford's lion was nothing more than a fat lame cone. Although far from most valid sightings of a big cat in Great Britain, the Bedford case of 2012 may be the country's most unique. So you've been listening to the Holes of Me Mark podcast show, doing side cat, not the Holes of Me Mark podcast show at all. He's messed his bit up, the ending. It's really Holes of Me Sidetracked. Episode 16. What are you talking about, man? And this is Big Cats in England Special. Ignore the previous bit before. That was a total fuck up by the presenter. Oh my god, never mind.